Well, we heard from Kevin Hyland, who's the detective officer who leads the work in the Met. We actually heard from his superior officer, the detective inspector. But even more importantly, we heard from Sophie Hayes, who was a young woman who was trafficked from this country to Italy, tricked by somebody she took to be a friend and forced to work in prostitution in northern Italy, not far from Milan. She eventually escaped and was able to speak very eloquently about the frightening and degrading experiences that she'd been through. The Office of Metropolitan Police described the extent of human trafficking. He said it's the second most widespread crime throughout the world, coming after only the illegal trade in arms. And he was speaking about the great encouragement he's received over the last 18 months in the cooperation that they've been building up with the Catholic community in England and Wales.
Do you see this as an issue that will be coming higher up the agenda for you as a church as a whole? Do you see areas where there could be much more focus on this?
He saw our role in three ways. One, of helping to build awareness. Secondly, of helping to reintegrate people who they've rescued from trafficking. And during the meeting, he gave us a couple of examples of Catholic schools who are doing that. And thirdly, and I think most importantly for him, was the support given right around the world by religious women to those caught, to the victims of trafficking. That was a point he made very powerfully. And I think with great appreciation, he said, so often Catholic resources are put at our disposal where there are good circumstances in which we can interview people in an unthreatening context and where there are people who will work with the police in really caring for the victims. And that was a great, great tribute to religious women in the church today. And in order to underpin all this in a proper way, we've established a national day of prayer for victims of trafficking. And we've chosen the 8th of February because it is the feast day of Sister Josephine Bakhita, whose story you will know. She was a Sudanese woman kidnapped at the age of 9 and sold into slavery. And from 9 to 35, she was trafficked in slavery. After that, she was rescued. She became a Catholic some years later and then spent the rest of her life, 50 years of simplicity and prayer and service of the poor. And she was canonized in October 2000. So we're going to use her as our kind of patron saint for this work in support of the victims of trafficking.
You were also discussing another day of prayer, weren't you, this time for peace in the Middle East?
That's correct. A number of bishops, myself included, had just come back from making pilgrimages to the Holy Land. And we were obviously very conscious of the fragile situation which is developing there at the moment. And therefore, we recognize the importance of our prayer. Many people who spoke to us there, including the Latin Patriarch, urged us to put prayer as a priority. The second priority they wanted was for us to continue to come in pilgrimage, particularly in support of the Christian and the Catholic communities there. So we want to use the feast day of St. John Damascene on the 4th of December as our day of prayer for peace in the Holy Land, especially at this moment when maybe the election in the United States and the forthcoming election in Israel might just give a window of opportunity to negotiations again. But they are desperate times and really people living under great tension and difficulties in both countries. I also had an opportunity to visit the land, the valley that is known as the Cresiman Valley, the place where the protection wall might cut off a very considerable portion of land, which at present is part of the Bet Jala village in the Bethlehem area. And that decision is before the Israeli courts, and it is one of great, great concern to those people because this land is their most productive land. It's the land in which they earn their living. It's the land in which possible future expansion could take place. And so we would follow that with great anxiety and noted the press release of the Assembly of Catholic Ordinaries of the Holy Land, which was put out on the 23rd of October.
Prayer and the pilgrimage are the two important aspects you've mentioned. The other aspect that's often talked about is that of putting pressure on your own government leaders. Will you be doing anything more along these lines, as you say, at this moment when negotiations are so urgently needed?
Yes, I will be seeking to meet with the leaders of the two main parties here, and I will be in correspondence certainly with the Foreign Secretary.
One other issue I wanted to touch on, I understand you were talking more about the Church's response to government plans for same-sex marriage there in the United Kingdom.
That's correct. We issued a further short statement which made four main points. Firstly, we wanted to make it clear beyond any doubt that we continue to be strongly opposed to any proposal to redefine marriage. Secondly, we wanted to make it very clear that we expect a full account of the result of the consultation that took place in the summer. We do not expect that to be minimized. We want a clear account of that opinion. And then we want to hear the government's response to it. Thirdly, we've asked all those who are opposed to this proposal to write to their MPs and to continue to put their views to their own MPs. And fourthly, because this is a matter that deeply affects society, we believe it ought to be a question of a free vote in each of the major parties if or when a bill comes before Parliament.
Do you think your voice is being heard on this issue?
I think the voice of the Catholic Church in the promotion of the good of marriage, understood as between a man and a woman, with an openness to the creation of children and their education for the stability and ongoing benefit of society, is well understood. And I think it is appreciated. I get quite a lot of support from people who I meet who say this is a very important positive voice that we have to keep putting forward. And I think we do it in the right tones and in the right way, and we will not slacken in our effort.